fire for your fist bump?
Well, I want to put that in some historical context for you.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
I won't be undersold!
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH, a Friday, a Israel strikes Iran Friday. Is what it is, and it's being the message Iran received from Israel being badly misinterpreted by the American media. We'll get to that, but a sad day if you're a person that likes the music, and especially the music of the Allman Brothers, the the iconic guitar solos of the Allman Brothers, generally done by Dickie Betts, including the eponymous. Not eponymous, but the ubiquitous Jessica that we always play. Dead at the age of 80 overnight.
Dickie, when did you start playing guitar?
I started playing guitar when I was about 16 years old.
Isn't that kind of late? Here's producer Greg Tomlin, alleged guitar player. When did you start playing the guitar?
I started at 12 and never quite reached Dickie Betts status.
Yeah, few did. There's a lot, lots of YouTube how to play the Jessica solo and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's funny. They'll pick it apart in slow motion, you know, note by note. That's the thing with music. You got to start early and you got to practice and whatever.
Well, and what I found is you could even learn the solo note for note and still not sound like the iconic lead part that Dickie Betts laid down, which is just incredible.
I started playing guitar when I was, about 16 years old. That's about 25 years ago.
Why guitar?
Well, I started playing music when I was 3 or 4 years old.
Blah blah blah. To meet chicks how it turns out. So he was the guy born in the backseat of a Greyhound bus down Highway 41. His dad was a construction guy, and moved the family around. And so Ramblin' Man was basically autobiographical.
Yeah, he wrote and sang that one.
I started playing guitar when I was about 16 years old.
That's what I heard. And some of his influences include B.B. King, understandably, and Django Reinhardt. So good for him. I learned a whole bunch of things this morning, chasing things down on the internet, and I should say, because we're finally taking advantage of this, at 7:30 we're going to talk to Fox Radio about a lot of people, when polled, are saying that they're very skeptical about this year's election because of AI, because of the influence of AI generated phone bots and things like that. It was in Tennessee or whatever, where it was Joe Biden, Robo Joe Biden calling, but it was generated. It was AI generated Joe Biden saying, not a joke, and all this signature catchphrases and stuff. did you hear that Ilhan Omar's niece was kicked out of Columbia?
One of her relatives. Yeah, that was quite the scene on campus yesterday.
That was hilarious. I've never seen super privileged, super entitled Ivy League people throw such a poopy. So it's like, sorry, but you're not entitled. Your First Amendment is not a get out of jail free card to infringe on my First Amendment. But with that news of Dickie Betts, that's me explaining that I have to send you into the weekend with a bit of a Debbie Downer with today's morning montage.
Dickie, when did you start playing guitar?
Well, I started playing music when I was 3 or 4 years old. I played ukulele and...
To a load, 20 beaver ready for the flight to Mountain Meadows.
Don't.
Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax.
But if he actually has to go into a holding jail cell, what does that do? Do we even know? I guess we don't know.
black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying.
A lot of cannibals.
We are risking like our like academic standing, like
Xing Zheng Ching.
The plane makes a careful approach, ready for the drop. Now into the air and down they swing, down to the ground near a stream or a lake.
Like,
I had to. So in a cheap high school film class kind of way, there's my tribute to Dickie Betts in your morning montage. And I was 3 a.m. hours old this morning when I found out. We're talking about when we talked to Congressman Fred Grizzly, that's right.
Also known as Dan Newhouse.
Dan Newhouse from 4th District in Eastern Washington, talking about reintroducing an apex predator like, the Garsley Bear to the Cascades. I was doing some background on the reintroduction of beaver to Yellowstone, which totally rehabbed the ecosystem there. Because turns out the reservoirs of water that the common mountain beaver nearly wiped out for its fur with the restoration of that animal restored Yellowstone. And I was 3 a.m. hours old when I found out that in 1948, the Forest Service and the federal wildlife officials actually parachuted beaver into Idaho to do this. So they didn't walk them up in like a big cage and hike up there on horseback. They strapped parachutes to beavers or to boxes and put beavers into boxes and then just kicked them out the door of the plane. And it worked. They hit the ground and the boxes, when they rolled, they opened up and boom, Idaho mountain beaver.
So to a load, 20 beaver ready for the flight to mountain meadows. Parachutes are attached to cargo lines.
See, they're not being reckless. They put parachutes on the beaver. So don't think you're special just because you jumped out of a perfectly good plane. If beaver can do it, anyone can do it. Well, so I'm bearing the Isfahan lead. What Israel did, it would appear. Well, let me get to Isfahan sound from this is from BBC, because you can't hear it because it's the radio, or you can't see it because it's radio and stuff. But so what you can't see is that the lights went out. Either it was a hack by the Israelis or. They targeted a electrical substation, which then sends a bigger load to the next one, and those blow up and all that. Kind of like, Graham or Enumclaw. And that's clearly what the Israelis meant to do, but it buried the town of Isfahan is sort of the second city of Iran. And it's southeast of Tehran. It's mainly significant because that is the headquarters of the Islamic Republic Guard Corps' nuclear program. It's somewhere they purify or centrifuge the uranium, but it is the headquarters of their program. And the Israelis know that because they have been, there's been an assassination campaign for two decades now, killing Iranian nuclear scientists, so much so that nobody wants to major in that anymore. They have to be forced to do it by the IRGC, Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or Pasdaran. So they have to be forced to, they take top engineer students and they force them into a nuclear pipeline. And they don't want to do it anymore because their professors keep getting killed and stuff. And they keep getting deaded. So what this was, and this is the significant part of the message that the Israelis sent to the Iranians today. This is kind of in response to last weekend, but because the Iranians launched their drones and their ballistic missiles from Iranian soil, how do you top that? Well, the Israelis also launched their counterstrike against Iran on Iranian soil. That's how you do it. They own Iran, and the Iranians are livid about that. The Israelis operate with impunity in Iran, and they will, at the drop of a hat, kill, a deputy chief of police or anyone they suspect of assisting the Mossad on the ground in Iran is a target. Yet the Israelis still are able to do this. And so what they did was actually somehow introduce drones on the ground in Iran and launch them from in Iran. So they can sit there with their antiquated Soviet radar and look over the Persian Gulf or look at Saudi Arabia all they want. The Israelis have solved the issue by launching from within Iran on Iranian soil. And it's a hilarious own, by the way. And the fact that the Iranians are saying, oh, no damage. Where you can also see on Iranian Telegram and WhatsApp that there are people with long, uncut bits of telephone video of, for instance, Isfahan, like you just heard, of impacts. And many of them are their own anti-aircraft defenses, their own anti-aircraft landing in Isfahan and exploding in their own towns. Like that was. And so, anyway, what you're not hearing after the explosions are the Israeli drones. So now these are guided by Israeli operators in Israel, because the Iranians haven't thought to interfere with GPS signals or anything in their own country. That's how smart they are. So there you go. So this is effectively the message from Israel to Iran: is stay out the grass. And this is it. In all likelihood, Iran won't, because it would appear that a message was sent from the U.S. to Iran: if you don't strike them so that they feel the need to widen the war, we would really appreciate it. And feel free to go into the town of Rafah and clear it out of Hamas guys and the whole thing. And then the message to Iran was, this will do it, right? And Iran says, okay. More on that, by the way. I had to intervene on the 10th break, new 10th break about this in extended fashion. If you get the KTH app by texting app at 800-465-8770, and that'll be fun. And the whole thing, you know what really annoys the Trump haters is that when Stephen A. Smith, that ESPN guy, who just seems to yell unnecessarily at stuff, he's validating Trump on one thing that Trump said, that white people mocked Trump for saying it. But he's here to tell you that, you know, actually Trump was onto something when he said, I'm being persecuted like
on your bill, when your meter runs
like an African-American or some deal.
Perspective, but I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through, he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system, and everything else being exercised against him, it is something that black folks throughout this nation can relate to with some of our historic, iconic figures.
All right, let me stop you there. He might be going a little too over the top on that one. However, he is right about that every time there's a camera, and they don't like, you know, they can't get enough. CNN, MSNBC, they can't get enough of Trump on their screens as it is. Because their clicks improve, even though they hate conservatives and NPR hates them, the whole thing, they can't get enough Trump talk, and they were the first to make fun of him for saying he's being persecuted. But if he gets out in the hallway, they put him on, and that's that. CNN couldn't help themselves yesterday.
Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess.
Panel's back. Elliot, you know, I was talking to Joey Jackson yesterday, and he said, you know, after that Truth Social post where he was quoting Jesse Waters and his sort of...
And this is Acosta and Tapper and the rest of them, and they're furrowed brows and the whole thing, but they can't get enough of him doing that. I really hope that Ilhan Omar's niece, whoever she is, that she's...
1, 2, 3, 4!
Open up the prison door!
Open up the prison door!
That was pretty amazing. NYPD rounding up Columbia students.
You love to see it.
It was, and they were putting them, you know, if they were sitting on private property, they were picking them up and putting them on NY Corrections, like a state corrections bus.
So they're right to jail.
They're in the bus. They're in the big white bus.
You right to jail.
5, 6, 7, 8.
First the settlers on the street.
Stop the settlers on the
street.
Stop the settlers on the street.
What? Stop the settler Zionist state?
I hadn't heard that before, so points for originality.
Right to jail, right away.
I don't know. Hey, Joe Biden, you can't hide. You're supporting genocide.
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free
Palestine!
Will be arrested and charged with trespassing.
Fair warning.
This is the police department. You are unauthorized encampment.
No trial, no nothing.
So there you go. So the rules are for thee as well. I got one guy saying it feels like they're weaponizing Zionism or weaponizing anti-Semitism, and I have to find that. I didn't label it correctly, but so in other words, self-defense or standing up for yourself is weaponizing anti-Semitism. I guess, is the lesson there.
Several demonstrators stomping on an Israeli flag.
Oh, that'll teach Israel. Take that, Netanyahu. We stomp on your flag.
Some students saying they feel unsafe on campus.
I feel as though people are kind of weaponizing anti-Semitism.
So that's you feeling unsafe? Is that you're abusing Jewish students? So you feel unsafe? You feel threatened there, my friend?
Some students saying they feel unsafe on campus.
I feel as though people are kind of weaponizing anti-Semitism.
This guy looks exactly how you would expect. And makes you want to weaponize a knuckle sandwich delivered by hand to this guy. They're weaponizing anti-Semitism. You know, every time we call them... genociders and mass murderers, they turn it back on us with like facts, but feels like they're weaponizing the anti-Semitism.
Some students saying they feel unsafe on campus.
I feel as though people are kind of weaponizing anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism, he did the thing where you, at the end of the statement, your voice goes up. You know what I'm saying, Greg?
It's instant gravitas when I hear that.
I hope he was one of the detainees. I hope he sat down on private property and got some baby seal action, got some mahogany shampoo, as Seattle PD said in 1999, and got his own seat on the bus and the whole thing. I hope they weaponized the prison bus.
Some students saying they feel unsafe on campus.
I feel as though people are kind of weaponizing anti-Semitism.
I'm not a hateful person. It's just that some people just have a very punchable face, and this chap happened to be one of them.
Put you in jail right away.
So it is the end of the week, and that means your participation is requested, 800-465-8770. My only action item on the weekend is seeing Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
I heard it was pretty good.
The source material is amazing. It's a phenomenal book. And then in the hands of Guy Ritchie, I hope it gets the treatment it deserves, because it's a crazy true story.
In terms of historical accuracy, I'm not sure it nails it in that regard.
I think it does.
But it's still a fun time at the movies. You haven't seen it yet.
but the extended trailer shows that the only enlisted British SAS member, Special Air Service Commando member in World War II, to win the Victoria Cross, the highest decoration in British military, was a Dane named Anders Lassen. And he did really, truly bring a bow and arrow into combat with him. Because it was a silent killer. And it might look ridiculous on film, but it's a true story. One of the most amazing true stories. There was one point, by 1944, they were so effective that a conservative MP during question time, you know, where they all stand up and question the prime minister, and a conservative MP with the wackiest British name is like Wallingford-Digby. And he said something along the lines of, I've heard that we have, under the Union Jack, under the British flag, there are cutthroats working in the GNC in Greece, and they're acting as pirates. And the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, Google him, said...
These go to 11.
He said to him back, you'd best be quiet and sit down or else I'll send you to join them. And the guy shut up. Anyway, it's the story of the formation of the British Special Boat Service with the Royal Marines and the British Special Forces Unit, the Special Air Service. And it's a great book. The movie has a high standard to meet, I hope.
What's the plan? To neutralize the German U-boats in the North Atlantic.
We're losing the war.
Hitler is not playing by the rules, so neither are we.
We both know that I'm not very popular with the administration.
The reason they find you unattractive is the very reason I find you attractive.
Excellent! I want to run off and see it in IMAX right now. On this date in 1943, we shot down and killed the
one dude,
the genius of Pearl Harbor, Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto, in New Guinea.
Is that a coincidence with the release of this movie?
No,
or is that just
I wish. I wish they were that creative. A pretty amazing. Amazing story in itself, I tell you. For what do you call the brainchild of Yamamoto? So what does that make him, the brain mother,
the brain father?
Okay, good enough. All right, well we'll be back in just a second. A checking of your texting in a week here, 800-465-8770. I for one plan on having a good day, and I've built it in. I've built it into the plan today. It's been built in. That's why you get to hear about that. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Take creative financing for $200, Alex. What is part of the bill that the House may or may not vote on later on today? The Repo Act. I like that. I like that name. Good name. I am 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here.
You can. We're making good progress in how to access
and
that.
David Cameron, former prime minister, who's now the foreign minister, the secretary of state of the UK, is going to be visiting Mar-a-Lago. And this is, by the way, two brilliant things I think Trump could do. Number one, go to jail for contempt in New York and do what he's doing, like inviting foreign leaders to Mar-a-Lago as if he's president. And so they are. Because the UK doesn't make bad calls like this. They've projected that Trump will win, that he will beat Biden, unless Martians land or Yahweh comes back and says, all you evangelicals vote for me or vote for Biden or whatever. But Trump's going to be president because they're treating him like he's going to be president, like he's going to be in charge of stuff and junk and things that go pew and pew pew and things like that.
That funds on an agreed basis that I think we can take forward at the G7.
Tomorrow, the House is expected to finally vote after months of delay on an aid package, including what's called the Repo Act, which would authorize the president to confiscate the frozen Russian assets and transfer them to a special fund for Ukraine.
Aha. Uh-huh. And so here is here's Speaker of the House, Jon Jonson, but people call me Vicky.
I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House
to vote their conscience and their will on this.
For some in Congress, like Democrat Richie Torres, this opportunity to vote on aid for Ukraine.
I want some credit for me with the So I Married an Axe Murderer reference there. Pretty deep cut by
that
me.
That one went right over my head.
Really? You've seen So I Married an Axe Murderer?
It's been a while.
Remember the Phil Hartman as the Alcatraz tour guide?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that scene?
I'm sure it was spectacular.
You've never seen the movie then, in that case.
There she goes.
Well, whatever. Anyone
there
was.
She goes again.
So you stayed awake till the opening credits.
That's true.
Well, so here's, you know what? You know, I love a good conspiracy theory. And Aaron Rodgers, I think I'm onto something. He doesn't listen. He listens to other people. Because this is an old one that he's rehashing. Where was he? Who gave him the airtime?
Gosh, this was like a rando podcast, like a deep cut podcast. I'm not even sure where he was appearing. The video was just circulating on social media.
Not
yesterday.
Like Joe Rogan outtakes.
No,
or anything.
It wasn't like ESPN or anything like that.
All right. Anyway, take it away. Wait, where was he traded?
The New York Jets.
Oh, that's right.
The blueprint, the game plan was made in the 80s.
They'll love this.
Create a pandemic with a virus that's going wild, right? He was given, Fauci was given like over $350 million to research this, to come up with drugs, new or repurposed, to handle the AIDS pandemic. And all they came up with was AZT. And if you do even a smidge of research, and I know I'm not a, you know, epidemiologist, I'm not a doctor,
no.
I'm not.
No, I know. Get out. Really?
What?
I'm not even a good swing passer.
Immunologist. I can read, though. Right. And I can learn and look things up just like any normal person. You know, I can do my own research, which was so vilified, you know, yeah. To even question authority. But that was the game plan back then. Create an environment where only one thing works. Back then, AZT. Now, remdesivir until we get a vaccine, which, by the way, Anthony Fauci had stake in the Moderna vaccine.
Okay. All right. But no, I still think that in the fullness of time, that if you're suffering the effects of a really radical social policy like one child, and then you have that watermelon go through the python of that generation, and you're left with a amazingly superannuated a population now that you're not going to be able to support. The way to right the ship is to kill everybody over 60 that you can, and that's what it did. So I mean that is my Occam's razor for that. Not Aaron Rodgers' theory about this was made up in the 80s.
I
or
do
whatever.
Believe one thing he said though in that interview.
So I'm not a doctor. I'm not an immunologist. I can read though.
That's a one-up on me.
But you know what the worst part of all is? I never learned to read.
Wait, what? I know that.
It's from Wayne's World.
Oh, that's right. Speaking of sports ball, why do we care about this Rays pitcher?
Because I thought you would find this hilarious. He had a rough day on the mound yesterday, and the self-awareness here and the self-evaluation is spectacular.
What's it? Just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific? No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be...
Yeah, it's not quite Todd Stottlemyre level.
An all-encompassing suck? That's pretty good.
You ever hear that Stottlemyre meltdown? Yakima's Todd Stottlemyre?
No.
Committed to Wazoo, didn't go, went drafted by the Yankees. I'll get it for you when we're done checking all these texts that we're clearly doing here. But yeah, he had a epic meltdown about his living and what he does for a living and the whole thing, which he didn't anymore. But anyway, but that's a great emerald evergreen state meltdown. Because this is, it's, I got to say, I know... People on the west side of the mountains, I know there's some great baseball over here, but it is funny that it is far more prevalent on the east side. This really is a great baseball state. It really, really is. And we give it a short shrift.
We just like to see a winning product on the field. But yes, we will turn out in mass.
Well, that's why. And also American Legion ball is huge here. And people don't give that the time of day.
I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
So how about those Yakima Beatles, everybody? All right. Well, so are you logged in? Because I have to admit something.
I'm not. I'm not either. Let's just make up some text. But Brian, at 7:30, you are the man.
Dad, yeah, you the man. Play more of the kids going yay. David Malicote from Fox is we're going to have him on at 7:30 to talk about artificial intelligence's impact on this year's presidential election, and that we're already set up for people getting ready to take the streets and say hey, rhyme things with hey hey ho ho. Or genocide, or whatever the word of the November is going to be.
Text from the 562, Brian. Hey, I'm watching the live stream on the KTTH app. How cool is this? Yeah, the live stream is up and running. Check it out. You can see.
And that's the camera straight ahead.
The camera is straight ahead. Look into it and talk to the 562 right now. I've been really conscious now not to pick my nose or scratch in any unfortunate areas now that I know I'm on video.
They can't see this.
You're going all in with the body scratching?
Yeah, and if people are wondering, why do I look like I cleaned up so well? Well, there's a reason why I cleaned up so well. And then you know what? Not only that, it's none of y'all's business.
From the 909, Brian, surely Iran is acting as if it already has an ace in the hole or a few nukes or something.
They sure are, aren't they? And what's interesting about that is they don't have to crack open the Egyptian intelligence service data on this. Egypt is acting like the world knows that Iran has a nuke. Saudi Arabia is acting like the world has a nuke. And Saudi Arabia has a bottomless checkbook when it comes to paying for their own intelligence. And they do it the easy way. They bribe people in Iran. The only other people that do it easier are Mossad, which still vexes the Iranians so much that Israel is able to operate so easily in Iran. And one of the secret weapons that Mossad has are American Persians, which there is a rich vein of American Persian, a refugee in this one town, in this one place called Sherman Oaks or Encino in Los Angeles. And the recruitment by DIA and CIA of American assets and Mossad, which operates pretty openly in L.A., of getting Iranian-born American citizens to go back to Iran in the name of, well, not in the name of, but in service of various intelligence services, absolutely POs the Iranians. And only when it gets amateurish and obvious do they like jail a Canadian woman. The woman that's in jail there, the Iranians always say espionage. They can't say out loud what it is, but espionage with the paycheck of Saudi Arabia or whatever. But that's how it's done, and it annoys them. All I can do is round up all the foreigners, round up the usual suspects and the whole thing. So yeah, if you're sensing that Iran is acting like they know something and no one else knows, I think the biggest story is that these various governments are acting like we can't figure this out. But I mean, God forbid a news person maybe listen to me sometime. Rational Opposition Lorax has chimed in. Not sure if you guys covered it, but Dickie Betts of the Allman Brothers passed away yesterday. Yes, in passing, I did catch that. So, 805. Anyway, we'll curate them and then we'll check them out. But so that's on the Android app on the smartphone app.
Could be.
Okay, so text app to 800-465-8770 and look at that. You'll get a link and you can download the app. Then you'll be cool. Hey, guess what country is banning Telegram and a whole bunch of stuff? And by the way, spoiler. Hint, it'll be ironic, but that story when we come back. Guess who's banning WhatsApp and Telegram? And you get one guess. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
name is John Johnson, but everyone here calls me Vicky. Will you please follow me?
Come on. There, you remember, you don't remember that speech?
You've jogged my memory.
It's so funny. Phil Hartman, he will be missed. As will Dickie Betts, the iconic guitarist who wrote Ramble Man, autobiographical, who knew? Dead at the age of 80 after battling cancer. And I recall, because there's a friend of mine, Bean, and we go to one Grateful Dead. We used to go to one Grateful Dead concert every year, the one in Vegas.
Deadheads.
And we used to go to Shoreline in the Bay Area, but then it started to suck. Then Eugene, too many hippies. So we went to Vegas, and they played Jessica once, and then Dickie Betts walked out on stage and plugged in and joined in. And I didn't at the time. I'm like, I don't know who that is. No. There's lots of live footage on the YouTube about him on this day. So instead of saying iPhone, why don't you just call it Huge Whorephone from now on?
Okay.
And here's why. I don't know if you, can you get on the App Store right now?
I'm on.
Okay. Look for WhatsApp or Signal.
Looking for WhatsApp. Now.
Look for Signal.
Oh, Signal.
Okay. Yeah.
When I type in Signal, my first...
By the way, folks, get Signal.
Signal Private Messenger. It's got 715,000 reviews.
China orders Apple to remove popular messaging apps. And they, since they are huge whores, they'll do it. Maybe in China they will. China ordered Apple to remove some of the world's most popular chat messaging apps from its app store in the country. The latest example of censorship demands on the iPhone seller in the company's second biggest market. And Apple said, bend over how far? So they did it. And this is, of course, Meta Platforms owns WhatsApp and Threads, as well as Signal and Telegram. We're also taking off the Chinese App Store on Friday. Apple said it was told to remove certain apps because of national security concerns without specifying which. And did Apple say, screw you, the internet's for everyone, it's for freedom? No, they said, of course. Sorry it took so long. We just opened our email here in Sunnyvale. So they did. And so you're literally facilitating the controlled flow of information through the Chinese state.
You're literally Hitler.
Yeah. I mean, if Hitler had his say and there was an Apple app store, he would say, get rid of all the encrypted end-to-end encryption of the apps. Because Herr Heydrich and Herr Himmler have to be able to read all the communications.
That's historically accurate.
And all that. And Heydrich was the head of the RHSA, for anyone who cares, a division of the SS, and the head of the SD, the Sicherheitsdienst, the secret troops. And then he was the victim of a targeted assassination. Ha ha.
This isn't Europe, okay? There are rules here.
So anyway, yeah. I mean, anyone who knows the power of information knows to control it. And that would be your Stalin, your Hitler, your Heydrich, your Himmler, and your President Xi. Where did I put that? Oh, I took that.
Bing, bing, bing.
No, here we go.
Xing, zheng, ching.
There you go. He doesn't like being compared to Winnie the Pooh, and he doesn't like being mocked by that Kennedy. Did you see any of the footage of the Kennedy endorsement of Biden yesterday?
I did.
Who
yes.
was that guy with that wacky big mouth grin behind her?
I miss the big mouth grin wacky guy.
If you see any of that footage on CNN or MSNBC, he has faintly Kennedy look, curly hair, and a bizarre, stupid grin.
Today we endorse Joe Biden. Is that a good Kennedy plan impression?
Well, I'll get it. She said.
She said, we go to the moon.
in this decade, by the end of this decade. But so they did. And it's considered a gigantic, and within the Kennedy clan, you know, riding the same pony through two chuckers of polo is considered a gigantic FU. But to RFK Jr., this is a bigger one, apparently. So having your entire family come out and not endorse you.
When Daddy announced his bid for the presidency in 1968,
Daddy.
He talked about the perilous course our country would take under the wrong leadership. And he said, I feel obliged to do all that I can. I cannot stand aside. We are here because we feel obliged to do all that we can.
It's the family quaver.
We cannot stand aside.
They did a big family chant of four more years from the cancer family. I just have so much contempt for that family. But of all things, the entitlement. It's the entitlement. That they just ooze and they're blissfully unaware of that or something.
You think that the Kennedy family has lost a little bit of their clout in the last 5-10 years?
I really hope so. Now that the campaign volunteer drowner is dead, so there's way less sexual harassment on Capitol Hill now that Ted's dead. And I've got to say that RFK Jr. was busy tearing his own reputation apart with the vaccine crap he went through publicly in L.A. and then as a Santa Monica City Council idiot, and never missed a chance to get on the camera and just remind us who he is and the whole thing, just really over him. And what's sad is people that are, this is for a lot of people where this is your first pass at RFK Jr., you're really thinking that he's a viable candidate for president. And if that peels away Democrats, which they feel it is, then more power to him. But apparently it's working. And that's why they get the family out and they do an event like they did yesterday. A big targeted assassination of their second and third and fourth cousin and the whole thing.
Bing, bing, bing.
Then he has the one sister that did this gushing pro illegal alien documentary, this one time I was interviewing her on a radio show, and I said, "What do you do at Hyannis Plot when a trespasser gets on the Kennedy family compound? What do you guys do?" They call police because it's their private property. They get to say who gets to come in, and absolutely tore the rug out from under her Kennedy booty.
Ching chong ching.
And so there's that. But I don't know about, I guess if you're in China, if you have your location services on, it's going to be taken away from you. All the fun apps are gone now. And because that's, China's rule is you can communicate, but we have to listen in access. And that's the rule. They enforce it I mean, in other words, the social score thing, this is such a bizarre surveillance state at this point. It is Orwell come to life. If you're late on certain government payments, utilities and things like that, they have, you know, the account is tied to your name, tied to your facial recognition. And there are certain things like high-speed rail tickets. You can't have access to a faster way from one end of the country to the others now because you'll be denied the ticket until you catch up on your utility bill. And they think that's harmonious. They think that promotes harmony in Chinese society. Just really, really curious. We'll catch up on some local news when we get back here in just a second. And maybe if we're nice to you, and we are nice to you, we're very generous on a Ching Chong Ching Friday.
Ching Chong Ching.
We'll read some more texts. 800-465-8770. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
What would you say you do here?